This is my kind of mess.
Junker systems are offline.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
The Pat and AJ podcast.
Well, because they got great banter. They jib-jab, 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 jib-jab.
Pat and AJ.
I feel like the conversation we've been having in the last 5 minutes is a lot more interesting than the shit they're talking about on the radio. Just moronic commentary and stupid sound effects, and it's just dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
It's the Pat and AJ podcast.
Felt like we never updated people on this. Don't worry, all the forest fires, those are all put out
not
by
forest
us.
Forest fires, they're wildfires.
Wildfires. Fires in the mountains.
I mean, forest fire is a forest fire. A wildfire is one that usually happens.
Well, the wind was up in the mountain. Doesn't that count as a forest up on the mountain?
No, it started in like the brush.
I know the other one was just a homeless fire. We call that one a crackhead fire, you know? But we're okay. That's fine. Those are all put out just in time for World War III. Don't worry.
All good.
Which, by the way, you know what? I'm kind of okay with the apocalyptic nature of the news and current events, only because in the span of like a week, I found out that not only is one of the greatest animated television shows of all time coming back for a much needed rebooted season, King of the Hill. That's like happening, done, in the bag. We're showing you video. It's happening in August. That thing is coming. Then I wake up, AJ shows me the new season trailer for It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, doesn't it look good? And then gang is back.
And then on top of that, the boys who have inspired characters that I've tattooed on my body, Matt and Trey, are back for, I believe, the 27th season of South Park. And just from the teaser I saw, I think Butters is in charge of the FAA. That's
sounds
all
about
I
right.
kind of saw.
Have you ever told people you've got a Towley tattoo?
It's a duo. Well, it's not just true. Towley. It's Randy. Yeah,
you have Randy and Towley on your cap.
I have Randy Marsh, who is kind of my spirit animal because he went from being like because I didn't grow up with my dad in my life per se. I saw him once a year for a month in Iowa, and it was weird. So I didn't have one of those like constant father figures. So I started watching South Park in college, and I go, you know, Randy reminds me a lot of the dads on the South Side that my buddies had, kind of a dopey dad, but he goes to work. Because Randy, if you forget, is a fucking geologist.
Is he really?
Randy Marsh. See, we all forget.
I must have missed that part.
Because he's like Tegrity Farms Randy now, which, by the way, in the new season, he becomes Ketamine Randy and apparently wants to go work for the government. So I don't know
he's
what.
A geologist?
Yeah, but that's his actual profession. He quits being a geologist to start Tegrity Farms.
You know what that reminds me of? And only because we've been watching a ton of it lately, the Gilgo Beach Killer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's an architect.
Yeah, he's like kind of a big sloppy dude that lives in a sloppy house, but he's an architect in Manhattan.
What, you think all fucking serial killers got to be good looking?
No.
You fucking look at you. You're like, I want him to be good looking too. I want David Ramirez or Ted Bundy. Jeffrey Dahmer had a look, too.
I more meant his lifestyle is very Randy. Randy would live in that house.
Yeah, Randy, Randy was a geologist. I love how we're talking about a fictional person. But
and a serial killer.
And then somehow, as I got older, it went from Randy being like, boy, I wish I had a dad around like that, to, oh, shit, I think I am Randy.
Yeah.
And now I've literally used him in therapeutic sessions where I go, Randy, if anything, he's the person who teaches us that we are capable of change.
That's true.
He is someone who can commit to something.
He is a cartoon who committed to something.
And then he can uncommit. And but to answer that long question, Randy Marsh, my spirit animal, because literally every time I see him on TV, he makes me laugh. Like, he just brings me joy. I finally pulled the trigger and got a tattoo of him. Which, by the way, if you didn't know, tattoo artists, they are very underwhelmed to do South Park tattoo work because it's such basic everything.
It's basic illustration.
I mean, it's not like you're asking them to do some
a tiger back
comic
piece.
Comic book, Dark Knight or something. It's like a fucking block character. And I have Randy Marsh with his best friend Towley, who currently works with him at Tegrity Farms. Although, once again, what I'm gathering from the new trailer, Towley may be his assistant as Randy takes ketamine and heads to Washington.
Oh.
I don't know what they could possibly be spoofing in the new season.
I love your tattoo because, it reminded me last weekend, you were kind of stressed out about something. We were walking.
Life. It's just me being awake.
We were walking into a movie theater, and, we had all just kind of calmed down from a little spat we had in the car.
Oh, and I got triggered in the car over, dumb shit, but yeah.
I was walking behind him, and I saw his Randy tattoo because I always forget it's there. And I chuckled so hard. And it was just like, it's like an icebreaker.
Yeah, you know, I finally took the advice of, and by the way, the actual tattoo is Randy Marsh and Towley, and they're smoking a joint. Like, they're both fucking having a good time.
I wish his head would have been tilted more. That's my only critique of your tattoo.
I can get more. We can do another one. Do you want to do another one? Whole new. There's many versions of Randy. There's Geologist Randy. There's Tegrity Farms Randy.
You need a Tegrity Farms Randy is what you need next.
But, yeah, that's he brings me joy, and I took advice from Steve-O. Who takes advice from Steve-O? Maybe nowadays
you
he's like
question your role models.
Yeah,
here.
No. But like
nowadays,
these days,
Steve-O's a good role
model. He's a good sage these days, right? But he said something early on about his tattoos. He said, there isn't a tattoo I have that isn't designed to make someone laugh.
Yeah.
And I said, holy shit, he's kind of right. Because you look at all of his tattoos and they're all some kind of gag or joke. Even the awesome one on his back of himself saying, yeah, dude, giving thumbs up. Like, what's fucking funnier than a full-blown portrait of yourself giving thumbs up saying, yeah, dude? And so I thought about that because I said, you know, we all go out there having tattoos. And first, here are the phases of getting tattoos. Are you ready, kids? Sit down. All you young ones that are getting ready to just fucking blast your arms at 18, my son included.
Grandpa Ink's going to tell you a story now.
I'm going to tell you a story. You go through phases. I get it. First, you're going to go through the things that mean the most to you. That's right. We're talking dead people, grandparents, maybe moms and dads. You're going to say, I want to get their name. There's a million videos of parents being pissed off about a tattoo on a 19-year-old until it's like their mom and dad in some kind of... So you're going to go sentimental first, right? And then after that, you're going to go what you think is introspective, completely unique to me. Yes, I am talking about the rising phoenixes out of the ashes, which, by the way, adorned my leg from ankle to kneecap.
That's a big one.
Right? And I was laughing one night. I think I was under the influence of something with you, and I started just laughing. I said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm a phoenix rising from the ashes because everyone doesn't fucking feel like that in their life. Yeah,
feels like a phoenix.
It's like the most unique story to life. Oh, I was beat down and I got back up laughing about it because I'm at a point now where I'm like, how pretentious. So listen, you're going to go introspective and you're going to get some tattoos of some shit that you think is, you know, for you, but other people are going to have the same shit, right? Yeah. And then eventually you're going to say, hold on, I can get the cool, like the wower tattoo, right? Like the really cool, dope one, which I have too. I have on my arm a super impressive piece.
It's all geometric shapes and stuff.
I mean, it is high quality
shit. It's blackout,
People walk up to me all the time and say, oh my goodness, that's so great. Who did that? All that stuff. But all that's fun, and it is. But I have not garnered enough joy, if even from my own wife's reaction on a continuous basis of having a tattoo that makes someone laugh. I went on this big journey of tattoos, right? Oh, this is for my son, and this is for my dead grandparents, and this one is, you know, just because I'm a phoenix, and this one's impressive to make you think I'm cool. And then finally I got the one that randomly makes my wife laugh.
It's pretty great.
It defuses situations.
It does.
Too.
I mean, your other tattoos are fine, but that one's definitely my favorite. It's funny you mentioned that. I was at the dog park this morning with our dog. This is the time of the year when you have to go at, like, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning because it's too hot by 7. It's crazy. But one of the ladies at the dog park got a couple of cover ups this week. And she
cover up tattoos.
Yes.
Okay.
So she, and I forgot what
it's
she got.
It's a good time to get them in the summer out here in Arizona.
Cause you're not really going to, you're not going to be outside swimming all that. So, well, I swim in the summer, but regardless, I don't remember why she got it covered up. I don't think it was anything personal.
Mm-hmm.
But she got she showed it to me this morning, a big black widow tattoo on the back of her foot, like right here.
Nice.
And she said, it's a lot bigger than I thought it would be. And like all the old ladies at the dog park were absolutely disgusted with it. They were like, ew.
Oh, they didn't like
it. What did you do? Why would you do that? It does look like she's got a spider crawling up her foot. It's really, And the other one was like a butterfly. She said it's a little dark, but it's a cover up. So that happens.
Yeah.
But she showed me her.
I just caught some really cool vintage.
You know what I like, by the way? She asked me today when I walked in, she goes, do you have any tattoos? And for me, my whole mission has been to cover up my tattoos. Like, they're just for me. I don't really want to show them that much. But I'm like, oh, good. I've covered them all up. Except the one I get the most compliments on is the one on my foot. It's kind of on the top of my foot, so it peeks out of my shoe.
I mean, I feel like with women, and this is why
I got a tattoo of our dog, Pepper.
Yeah, everyone
our little meanie schnauzer. And it's literally just a line tattoo of her cute-ass little face.
Say, it's nothing fancy. It's just like a little cartoon drawing,
I can't
right?
tell you how many people compliment me on that. That's the one everybody says they love.
Yeah, I know it's weird.
And I think it's the only one they can see.
I mean, I guess you kind of have to go gender card on this. But for women, even though we're these days quickly getting away from it, I feel like because there's so much emphasis put on your looks and your appearance and that, like, I mean, you know, because if like I get this big arm piece, it's like I'm a dude. There's no real big impact. I feel like for a female to get something this, like there's a lot of thought process into like, well, what am I going to look like in a dress? What am I going to look like in a wedding dress? I've heard that one before.
Yeah.
And I'm like, man, that's just shit dudes don't think about. I mean, we just start slapping shit on our body.
As much as we have come very, very far in like body acceptance with women, we are still so far behind.
A little bit.
Like there is still so much judgment on women's bodies and what we choose to do with them. And if we don't walk around looking like, you know, ornamental and pretty on purpose, we're bad. We're bad examples of women. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
if you don't judge yourself up when you leave the house.
I mean, yeah, that's,
well, and, I guess you don't care.
Well, and
I'm like, no, I don't today, but who am I supposed to care for? I'm wearing the same shorts I've worn for 3 days in a row. I have no makeup on. And guess what? The only person I care about hasn't said a damn thing, and he's sitting across from me.
Well, and it's, you know what, back to the reason now why the young girl will get the same patchwork arm sleeve done, which by the way is such a I feel like the collection of patchwork tattoos, which is all the rage probably the last 5 years with the young crowd. You know, they all of a sudden they've gone from zero to hero on their arms.
But they don't do it gradually. It's all one. Yeah,
it's all one, but it's not like some big grand design. It's just like a whole bunch of shit that, like, you know, we just like slap and sticked on. And I feel like that's going to age kind of like all the tribal shit did in the 90s, where everyone got barbed wire tattoos, including Pamela fucking Anderson.
Oh, God.
Right? Like America and Canada's most beautiful woman at the time. It's like, yeah, I'm going to do it too. But like everyone was getting these big, you know, tribal, and no one knew what the tribal was, or they were getting the barbed wire stuff. And it aged it. And you'd look at it and go, I know when you got that. And I feel like now you're going to see a female that's about 27 and she's going to have that like patchwork arm. And I'm like, good for you. But I totally know when you got that.
You're going to hate me for this.
Go
but
ahead.
I feel that way about blackout tattoos.
You
have one. And I don't want to say it, but, and I'm not saying it looks bad. It really, I mean, it is.
Well, I think
it's kind of timeless. However,
it's
very popular
right now.
Right now. So I feel like it could age you at some point.
Well,
you might be like, why the hell did I do
it's
that?
It's not an entire blackout, right? Because I think some people think of like Machine Gun Kelly.
No, he didn't black out his whole arm.
Like I didn't do, which some people do. They do complete blackout, which I understand. And I think also, you know, let's not, you know, lie. Sometimes when you do things like get a patchwork arm sleeve, maybe the only way out is to black that much. Which, by the way, I've seen beautiful blackout work, especially they'll do it like a blackout sleeve, and then they'll do highlights over it in white and grays.
That's pretty,
amazing work. But I do see what you're saying. I think the only reason why I won't be totally pigeonholed is because the blackout is only a part of my arm
tattoo,
piece.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it is part of a cover-up, right? I caught some funny, cool stuff on Instagram today. It was like shot on, 8mm maybe. It was like a tattoo shop in 1979. And it was just like an old timer who was the guy that tattooed, and someone comes in and it's a classic, like, want to get this initial covered up. And like, it's the guy points to the wall. Like, well, those your four cover ups right there. And it was like the Panther, the Black Panther we've seen on a million people, a black rose and a black spider. So when you said your friend got a cover up with the black spider, I go, boy, some things don't fucking change.
Nah.
If you walk in and you need to cover something up, I got an idea for you.
You know what I've found on like Instagram, because you know they just suggest reels for you so they can get you in some sort of algorithm. The cover up tattoo cover-up videos are becoming like niche, like popping pimple videos.
Yeah.
Where they literally show somebody getting a tattoo covered up. And it's like, it's obsessive. Like I can watch them on repeat, just these people getting them covered up. And
there
watch.
Was a TV show,
it's
remember?
Crazy.
Back when they were doing
but I mean, I'm sorry, not covered up, removed.
Removed.
Tattoo removals, no.
I was about to say, I mean, we've watched a million TV shows that are like Operation Cover-Up.
Yes, you know? I apologize. I mean, tattoo removal videos.
Oh, that's the laser. I wonder how far.
I can't stop watching it. It's like a coloring book.
I wonder how far it's come because, truth be told, I underwent two laser removal sessions when I was 18.
Two? I thought you had one.
I think there was like an initial it was like two. But the plan was, so this is 19, holy balls, 96.
The 1900s, man.
Jesus, yeah, right. That's how my kid hears that. Like, oh, that's back when Benjamin Franklin was alive.
Somebody call the horse and wagon. We need a ride to the tattoo shop.
So I just graduated high school, and of course I graduated with a couple really bad homemade jailhouse tattoos because me and my friends discovered that India ink and, you know, needles equal tattoos. So a million dudes in the neighborhood have little shady crosses. Yeah. They're all very bait. No one's getting nothing big, but I had some dumb tattoos on me. So as I started to get my life together, my grandparents, who loved me oh so much, must have, this is 96. So this is like the beginning of that.
Yeah.
They read somewhere some advertisement about we can get your tattoos off. So my grandparents call me and they go, yo, you want to get your tattoos off? The tattoos they were going to remove. One was, are you ready for this? These are big words. They're just they're not block letters. They're not fancy looking. It's just drawn. It said Rebel. Without a clue.
Oh, you dope.
That's right.
Jesus.
Right? Rebel. Oh, Rebel. God.
Rebel without a clue.
Not without a cause.
I mean, it's
without
true.
Without a clue.
It's true, but it's just ridiculous.
Isn't that
it's
funny?
It's so cliche.
How even at like 15, I'd figured it out. Like, I figured it out. So I had like that and like a shitty little cross or something. And I had some like, you know, other little things. And my grandparents took me to this place. It was deep in the burbs. It was like my, like right when I started college. And we went two times. And I forget the.
How bad does it hurt?
It's a motherfucker.
I believe it.
And it doesn't seem like, according to the people that I've talked to today, albeit, you know, it looks a lot cleaner, it doesn't seem like it hurts any less. Every person that's talked about it, and the big one now I think about is Pete Davidson, right?
Yeah,
Pete
got
Davidson.
All his tattoos removed.
We all love Pete, but Pete was like Captain Millennial and did the like.
Pete was a he was a piece of art for his worst decisions from head to toe.
For the worst time of his life, yes. And he went all in, right? And now all of a sudden the guy's like, oh, I have a Hollywood career. Maybe I need to get rid of some of these tattoos. So I've been kind of following his journey, but even he, when he's asked that question by a million different journalists, hey, so does that hurt? What hurts more, getting them? And he always cuts them off and goes, yeah, no, getting them off.
It's so weird.
That hurts more.
The removal videos I watch, and they're not always, they're not usually huge tattoos.
They didn't numb you up or nothing.
It's usually black and white. But like, I remember getting the tattoo on my foot and my foot was twitching uncontrollably while I was getting it. It hurt like a beast and it was twitching and I kept apologizing to the tattoo artist. Like, I'm sorry, I can't make it stop twitching.
They talked so bad about you in the break room.
I'm sure they
did.
Like,
son of a bitch.
Yeah, because I'm sure I'm the first person to have a limb twitch when you have a tattoo. But the ones I've seen removed, I'm always expecting them to like jerk or something, and they never do, because they must numb them up.
I
mean, There's no way.
I wasn't numbed up. I just sat there like, all right, stay there. Zap.
Old school.
I mean, it was almost as painful. And again, remember, these were handmade tattoos I got. So that's how I got them, was someone going poke, poke, poke. Weird side note, is the last time I saw my grandmother.
Oh.
Yeah. We went to.
That's an odd memory.
No, it was. They picked me up. I was staying at a flop house on the south side of Chicago. And they picked me up. We went out to the deep, nice burbs. And we had a nice tattoo removal session. Aww. We went out to lunch afterwards. Yeah, that's how you always.
Of course, you end everything with lunch.
Yeah, we went out to
bad
lunch.
Or good.
And I remember at the lunch, I ended up knocking over a glass of water because, like, I was twitching because of the stuff and the whatever. Yeah, then after that, grandma died. Anyways, that's how that story ends.
Interesting.
That's how that story ends. Anyways, after that, she died. Last time I saw her.
Too bad.
Welcome on in, folks. It is the Pat and AJ podcast. We are at episode 273. We hope you're doing well wherever you are, especially in the Midwest, because I heard summer's coming for you. I heard it's been very underwhelming. I heard people are pissed off. They're like, where is this weather?
Oh, it's coming.
And apparently, yeah, that shit's going to land on your front doorstep.
We did have some,
a couple days.
Some feedback from my friend Jay, who took our advice and watched the Ocean Gate documentary on Netflix.
Which one? Oh, the Netflix one?
The Netflix one.
So watch the other one.
That made me want to break the goddamn TV.
Yeah, it just wasn't good.
No.
Like it?
I didn't text him back afterwards. He said he was watching it with his wife, like, at that moment. Mm-hmm. He's like, why do you think we're watching it? Like, he listens to the podcast.
Okay.
I never got back to him, though, and I want to see what he thinks.
Okay.
Because I've been, like, you know, blowing up Reddit pages, bitching about it for a week, and most people are like, yeah, it felt rushed, no pun intended.
I had no idea.
It felt like it just ended.
I had no idea how in depth, because I've kind of, it's for my own mental health, like, really, I pull back on a lot of the social media game and places I enter. Like, I try not to be in spaces where we're people to people. I'm trying to just read things, you know. I don't want to interact with other people and hear what some jamoke in his fucking basement in Omaha thinks.
Isn't that all of social media?
Oh, Jesus. But again, that's why I'm staying away from that. But I didn't know that my wife now isn't so much into, like, you know, the Facebook and the Instagram and all that shit. But she's fallen into now, as she just alluded to right there, she's on all types of Reddit boards.
Oh, I love Reddit.
And, like, she, as she just said, well, you know, I've been bitching about this in forums. And I go, this is absolutely true, because almost everything now, she used to have a group of girlfriends that she went to for advice. Now she's like, listen, I got the Reddit board together. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yes, I did.
Me and the Reddit board talked. The Reddit board gave me sound advice. I think that's the way we're going.
Well, every once in a while, I'll delete Facebook from my phone because I just, you know, it's not like deep, you know, soul searching. I'm just like, I need a break. It's fine. Like, so I deleted it a couple weeks ago. But then I end up spending more time on Reddit. And let me fucking tell you something about Reddit. One of my biggest complaints about Reddit.
Yeah.
I can so rarely, unless I comment, if I post something to a subreddit, there's a 50% chance it'll get removed. Not because I broke any rules, because the moderators are power-hungry dickheads. Jesus.
This is, you know what, I will say, this is what, because I'm on my current second Reddit account. I had a Reddit account, and I famously, in a Jerry Maguire-esque way, exited a Reddit board that I was a big part of.
Say, didn't you start it?
No. I didn't. No. That okay. One, technically, I'm still a part of and leading, even though the reason why we started the board is no longer around. But I ended up the first time around because I got some shit from some moderator.
Yeah.
And again, this was back when I was working in the terrestrial broadcast world, which they had kind of started turning into the digital world. And all day long, we had these fucking jerk-offs from all around the country in this corporate chain telling us, hey, here's how you're going to write an article. Hey, here's how you get a lot of clicks. Hey, here's how we're going to do this and that. And a lot of rules.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would blow off steam by going on a Reddit board for a music festival that was near and dear to me. And all of a sudden, there's a moderator in there.
Yep.
It starts, you know, talking, hey, you can't post that because that, you know, the fucking subreddit rule, this bullshit. I go, listen, you motherfucker. I go, I do this professionally for a living.
I know.
I go, you're a volunteer.
Yeah.
I go back up off my schlong.
Yeah.
Okay. And let me just post a meme and don't tell me you made up some fictitious rules. And, you know, of course, it literally led to me going, I'm fucking done with this. And I deleted my account because I realized, hold on, now the stress from work is like carrying over into this. And it's not supposed to be that.
And not every subreddit is like that. Let me just say it.
I know
which subreddits will just, it's a free for all for the most part. I mean, I love those. And I respect those moderators. But like I had the greatest post going about, I was asking questions about our upcoming London trip.
Yeah.
And it was on a London subreddit. And like, I don't know, there was like 36 comments that were all really helpful. All really, everything was civil, everything was good. This bitch deletes my entire post and says, well, somebody asked about that already. And I said,
use the search bar.
I know. I was like, sorry, I'm not on Reddit 24 yeah. goddamn hours a day. And poof, all these responses, everything's gone. And I'm like, are you joking my ass right now? That's happened to me so many times. And I think it is so petty. And it is somebody who...
It's power hungry.
It's a power hungry.
Power thing. Hungry
it's somebody who...
Moderators.
Who wants to have a little bit of power on the internet. And they get it. And you know, they just run rampant
with it. You know what we
it.
Need to do is actually get those people the jobs that they were trying to make us do back in the... Like, you know, remember our good buddy Tree, who's now working the line
yeah.
as a proud UAW member in Michigan. The guy's doing great. He's feeding his family, building the future. But he was in charge of the whole digital circus,
yeah.
you know, for like $2 an hour. So what we need to do is to take these guys who were like the moderators for free for the, we go, all right, we have a job for you now.
Yeah.
You can do this for a group of radio stations and we'll pay you. We'll give you benefits.
Oh, that's cute. You think they'd pay anybody to
I
do
mean,
that?
I mean, a little bit. I mean, whatever Tree used to do, right? So you hire, but yeah, that's when I bombed
it's
out of that
so
shit.
It's just so frustrating because like, and there was one time I did blatantly break a rule I didn't know about and I got banned like in a millisecond. And I almost
hold on,
was,
you didn't get, you got banned.
I got banned from the whole sub.
What'd
you do? They didn't just take it down.
What'd you do?
It's not.
Okay. Is it not that bad?
It's not that bad. Okay. No. So it was, I won't even go into it. I did break one of the sub's rules. I felt like an asshole, but I also felt like banning me on my first post was a bit much. And I was like, hey dude, give me a second chance. Like, I'm sorry. I will not break any more rules.
I mean, because I know I'm a part of a lot of like psychedelic Reddit boards and it's really the discussion of the substance and like one of the big rules on there, like let's just pick one out of the sky, psilocybin mushrooms. One of the big rules is no soliciting
yeah.
for psilocybin mushrooms. This is just a discussion board about them. And obviously someone goes down there and goes, hey, I'm in San Diego. Anyone got a hookup for mushrooms? Like, I understand. Yes, yeah. that's blatant, but it's power hungry bullshit.
One of the other ones, like I think two of the other two that just pissed me off nonstop. One of them was I got banned from a sub, not because I said anything,
yeah.
but because I was a member of another subreddit
yep.
that they didn't like. And I'm like, so you just click, I didn't even comment. You just clicked on my profile, you know, to see what I'm a member of. I'm like, you're nuts and you have too much time on your
hands. This is why, you know, all the computer nerds, when the cyber world first took off, and boy, there are some really cringeworthy 90s sitcom episodes that are coming back around to roost about the cyber world.
Yeah.
But this is why that idealistic world doesn't really exist, because everyone thinks it'd be so different than the playground. You know, like when all the jacks, they got to pick first in dodgeball and all the nerds were last. Guess what? This is another system where it's just, I mean, oh no, these people are going to be idealistic and oh no, they banned me because they know that I'm a part of another Reddit Jeez. Board that they actually are in a fight with. Oh no.
I posted.
I mean, it's the same bullshit. It just means yeah. power corrupts.
It's just different.
Power corrupts. Whether that power is we're choosing for our seventh grade dodgeball, or we are a Reddit board moderator, or we're president of the United fucking States. Power corrupts people. It just does. We have studies. We have literal psychological studies to prove this.
The latest one that, of course, just pissed me off, because I got a lot of good feedback,
yeah.
was I posted on the Tucson subreddit.
Okay.
We are having trouble with a little spot in our backyard where our little puppy pees. Mm-hmm. It stinks and it bakes in the summer. And we've done everything to fix it, including like new dirt, new rocks. Trust me, I know you'll message me 8 million different things right now. I've tried like, every single one of them.
This is just like when you went on your own Facebook and said, boy, I'm looking for some suggestions for Ireland. And all of a sudden she had 19 travel agents calling her yeah. up. This is just, you are baiting people now to message you. All right, listen, here's what my granny did. She took 4 pints of Clorox. And then you mix it with lemon juice.
Short of digging up my backyard, I promise I've tried everything. So I asked on the Tucson subreddit, I said, hey, y'all, we live in a desert. Who else has rocks in their backyard that are stinky because of their dogs? Again, like 20-something really helpful comments. Yeah. Try this, try that. The moderator removed it because they said it has nothing to do with Tucson.
Oh, fuck.
I said, no, we live in a goddamn lame. Desert. I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's a snowbird like, running that page.
Seriously, people were giving me like, hey, go to this local store and get this product. And they're like, well, this has nothing to do with Tucson. And I really got to hold back because these nut jobs. And yeah, and listen,
power
I know.
Power corrupt.
Power corrupt. And listen, I know they'd say, well, then you be the moderator. No, I don't want to be a moderator. That's why I'm not one. And I don't think you should be one either.
The only place I'm a moderator on Reddit is literally because it was a music festival I was attending. It was the first year of this festival. The only year it didn't come back. But I'm glad the one year we had it. But no one had created a board.
Yeah.
And if you don't know, within that community, there's a lot of information swapped and shared on those boards. So I said, well, there's no board and the promoters didn't make it and no one else has, I guess I'll make it. And now I'm in charge of this thing.
I've thought about starting a subreddit called My Post Was Removed Because.
That's great.
But then
that's
I'd great. Have to moderate it and I don't then want you gotta moderate to. It. But I want to hear everybody's ridiculous fucking stories of why they had their post removed from Reddit.
You know, it's
so
funny.
Dumb.
So you're going to... like you said, you were looking for stuff for London. So we're going to London and Dublin at the end of the summer. It was a 4-year adventure to get to this, by the way. Don't think we're like some ballers. We're snapping our fingers and going off to Europe. Although I'll tell you what, we're about one missile strike away from myself and AJ and our son definitely putting on a Canadian accent.
If this motherfucker, get me started.
If you think I'm going to allow us to identify as Americans in the UK if there's a war going on, you better start fucking saying you're from Windsor. Oh, yeah, right across from Detroit there. Yeah, we know those Americans. They're kind of nutty, eh? Anyways, we like the Canadian bacon, and we love the Canadian. We love
the poutine.
Who else? Howie Mandel. We love Howie Mandel. You didn't know he's one of ours? He's one of ours. But we're going to London and Dublin, and you've been going to like Reddit looking for tips or Facebook, and then because you have friends who have gone.
Yeah, half my friends in the Irish dance community have been over there like multiple times.
Are like Muslims and Mecca, right? Like every Muslim has to go to Mecca once in their life if they can make the trip. So all the Muslims got to go to Mecca, and all the Irish, because they all, their parents and their grandparents worked so hard to get away from this rock.
Want to go back.
And they're all like, we have to fucking go back, right?
It's so funny. I had one person say to me, like, you haven't been there yet?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, no, I haven't had money for this.
God.
Good God,
what are you doing,
man,
with your life? I feel like it's probably the same way with Jewish folks in like Israel, yeah, right? They're like, you haven't been to Israel.
Not everybody has money to just
been to
the
Holy Land. Yeah. I've been going to YouTube.
No, you found some really, and I like it because it's visual. You can see where you're going. You can see what you're looking at.
I found a lot of really good stuff on like YouTube and tips and stuff like that.
I did see a great post yesterday that somebody else asked. Thank God I didn't have to because they probably would have removed it.
Go ahead.
It was about weather in late July in Ireland. Because we're just struggling. Like, the idea of what to pack isn't even like wrapped around our heads yet because the weather is so hokey. It could be. It could be a heat wave in London, which they consider like 86, 87 degrees.
I was going to say, as we currently sit in...
It's 111, isn't it?
It's cooling off. It's 6:30 at night. It's 104 right now.
Oh, that's nice.
And windy, so it feels like a hairdryer outside blowing at you. But no, please, Londoners and Dublin, tell me about your heat. No, I know the weather. That's been the weirdest part, so...
Dublin seems to be pretty consistent in that we'll need a raincoat and layers. London is the one where I'm like, I won't know what to pack till the week before.
But we're very stationary. You know, I'll tell you, AJ went and she just fucking kamikazed Ireland because, you know, I assumed we're going to Dublin and like, okay, we're going to go to Dublin for a week the same way we're going to London for a week. I booked this one place in London and then I book a place in Dublin. And again, as you hear, Miss Reddit board over here starts jumping down, starts asking questions, and all of a sudden she goes, hey, I think we're going to need to stay in other places in Ireland. Meanwhile, by the way, let me go ahead and pull out this exact...
Oh, we're bananas. This is going to be amazing.
Let's see. You asked me to do this 1 month and 8 days before we're leaving.
Yep.
She goes, by the way, I need you to cancel our week-long Airbnb in Dublin.
Because we have to drive to other hotels to see other places.
Holy balls. Other places. I didn't know there were fucking this many places to see in Ireland. This woman, she starts off going, all right, we're going to spend a day in Dublin. Then we're going to drive 3 hours across this rock.
Yeah.
And we're going to spend 1 day there. And then we're going to drive 3 more hours to go to this place. Then we're going to drive 2 more hours. And then all of a sudden she starts talking about, and there's an Irish fest going on. And there's a band.
In Wexford, yeah.
I know where this leads. And she wouldn't admit it at the time, but I know where it was leading. She was going to end up dancing in some kind of competition.
No, there's no competition.
Yeah, no. You'd find one. Trust me. You'd get on the Reddit board. Hey, Irish people, I want to dance. So basically, AJ blows up our plans 1 month and 8 days prior to our arrival.
But hang on, to be fair, so you did most of the London, in fact, all of the London planning.
I
did all.
I mean, well, the London planning, as far as for what you want to accomplish with Dublin, is so different because London, again, it's one of the biggest cities in the world, but it is, you know, England's New York City. So you stay in one place.
And just go to everything.
Yes, you use their amazing tube system, which we'll be doing. And yes, we're going to places, but it's very much like leave hotel, go to tube. Go to place, take two back, right? We're in one spot. It's not like AJ was saying, hey, so when we go to London, I want us to go to Liverpool, which is, you know, fucking 4 hours north or something. So I assumed we would kind of replicate that.
But you did say, Dublin. You said, okay, you plan the Ireland side.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I started talking to people, it became very clear that staying in one place for a week is fine if that's what you want, but there are so many cool fucking things to see little rock.
I think you just got some bougie ass friends. That's what she got. She got bougie ass.
I have friends that go there like every year. It's insane to me that people go overseas every year. That's not how I was brought up.
Going back to what I'm saying, she got some bougie ass friends.
I was brought up camping in the summer. We're like,
oh my God, girl, you need to go to all these 19 places when you're there. And my fucking wife, little miss, you know, Polly wants to do right, is like, we can do all 17 things in 7 days.
It's ambitious, but I think it'll be fun.
She was trying to get us to 2 different cities
in one day. They're an hour apart. That's doable.
But and then there was another drive.
But aren't you proud of me that I scaled it back and said, let's be realistic here. And I took out 2 of the stops.
Yeah.
And you know what was nice is because in my head, this is the only time we'll ever go. Just because that's, again, how I was brought up. A big trip like this, you only do once in your life.
Boy, all your friends are going to be very upset. They're very upset. You already said you're not going back.
Well, no, but that was how I was kind of, you know, manipulating this trip. In my head, a trip like this is a once in a lifetime
thing. I would say for most average people doing something like this, I would say you would go, oh, once in a lifetime opportunity.
So I was sad when I'm like, I can't realistically get us to all these places. So then in my head, I thought, well, this opens up the possibility for maybe another trip in the future. Instead of shutting that door and saying this is the only time we'll go over there.
So this is your excuse to go back?
Yeah, I'm not saying soon. I mean, I'm not going to go every year like some people do. But I mean, it is nice to open the door and say maybe we can do that. Maybe there will be a second time. That would probably be the last. But maybe there will be a second time we go.
Sounds like... Man, you sound like me when I got done preaching about Bonnaroo after my first year going. Yeah. I'm like, guys, we're going back every year. You don't understand. There's things we have to go see. You have to come with. We're going right now. Do you want to plan right now? Get on the phone and call me!
I think the weird thing is that I do have friends that go often. And I think for us, because we've never been there before, the flight is just incredibly long. And we're going to another country, a foreign country across the world. Yeah. So, yeah, there is like this bigger sense of I'm a little freaked out. But I do feel like once we go there, because, you know,
feel at home. Say I'm here in the motherland.
No, that's not what I was going to say. I'm not like, we're not like super overwhelmed with the price of everything. Airfare was pretty much what we expected.
Yeah.
You can get over there for like $500 if you really want to. It is doable to do again. I think I just need to get there and experience it and come back and not be as freaked out about it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it'll be overwhelming. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I have no doubt, but doable, right? I mean, these are civilized places we're going to. It's not like we're going to Antarctica or some shit.
No.
So, you know, it'll be...
That could be fun, though. Aren't you going somewhere right after we get back, too?
Yeah, I'm going to Chicago, which some people consider as much as a tribulation is going to Antarctica. I don't know. I'd rather go to Antarctica.
How many weeks between when we get home are you going?
4 days.
Shut the fuck up. Is that next weekend?
Yeah.
get
We get
you
back.
You are a maniac.
We get back, and it's only because it's to meet someone else who's flying in from like halfway around the world. Yeah. And it's so I guess if we're both flying, I guess he's flying more in that situation than I am.
Yeah.
But yeah, we get back on Sunday the 10th of August, and it's really weird because going to England is the whole you lose
an entire day.
Yeah, right. So like we leave on a Sunday evening and we get there on a Monday noonish. Coming back though, we leave on a Sunday at like 4 in the afternoon and
come back to Phoenix at like 3 in the afternoon.
I was gonna say, like, we literally save time coming back and you show up like magic. And so
I will say, one of the greatest things about living out here in like the western region of the United States, mm-hmm. is that you gain so much time back on your flights back home.
Yeah, I mean, sucks going anywhere, but yeah. Coming back is like,
it's excellent.
It is pretty awesome. So yeah, so we're back that Sunday, and I have to fly out that Friday to go to Chicago. And then I'm only there for like literally kind of like two nights. Like I'm leaving Sunday morning to come back.
I did tell him to go because this is a friend he rarely sees who, like he said, lives half around the world.
Yeah, not someone I'm going to bump into anytime soon.
If this was, I think, any other situation other than a funeral for your best friend, then I don't think you'd go.
Trust me, when I saw the date pop up and they're all like, hey, this is when everyone needs to get together and come to Chicago, which is fucking code for Pat needs to book a flight.
Yep.
You're
the only one that's got to fly.
I'm the only one, besides the person, yeah. I'm the only one that has to fly. But yeah, when I saw that date, they're like, this is the date. I go, oh, motherfucker.
He was so mad.
Although I didn't get fucked as hard as our son. This is called committing to the process, boys and girls. Our son has a virtual college orientation to attend.
While we're in Ireland.
That's right, folks. Let me say that again. Our son... Future Wildcat, go Bears.
It's not go Bears. It's Bear Down.
Bear Down.
Go Wildcats.
Go Cats, Bear Down.
It makes no sense. Trust us.
It was a very high...
The story behind it's real cute, but it makes no sense.
So, yeah, we're going to be in Ireland, and he found out that he has all this, you know, these little things he has to do for school, and they're all virtual, so luckily you don't got to show up, and I assume that's a good thing for the kids who are, like, moving here for school.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has to like attend something. It's like, what time? I don't know. It's like 11 a.m. Arizona time.
Okay. But you got to realize, and I say this as somebody who lives here and works on East Coast time.
Yeah.
He's got it made.
Being ahead of it.
Yeah. Cause that'll be like, I don't know, like 7 o'clock at night for him.
It'll be like late. Yeah.
It will not be an ungodly hour. Like when I tell people I work at 1:30 in the morning, they think I'm insane. I said, yeah, but it's 4:30 in the morning in New York City. So he's actually... It's a really good little spot of time because it won't interfere with whatever we're doing during the day. He'll be fine.
Bro,
but good
for
him.
He is going to be that kid in like that orientation. They're all going to be like, so tell me a little bit about yourself, what you're up to. And he's like, well, I'm in a hotel room here in Kilkarney, Ireland at the moment. And they'll be like, oh, shit, you're international? I thought we kicked out all the international kids. And they'll be like, no.
No, I'm coming back.
I'm just here on vacation. Then they're going to be like, oh, there's that bougie kid who's on vacation in Ireland. Which is maybe how he finds a woman. I have no idea.
It is very Midwest modest, though. Like, I still...
Yeah.
I cannot tell people we're going overseas without saying we've never been there before. And this could be the only time we go. Because...
We're never going
to
do it again.
That's just how we were brought up. Like, we were not brought up going on international trips. We were not kids like that.
Midwest modesty is a real thing. And I think the best meme about it goes, if someone compliments something like you're wearing... Your immediate response is obviously, oh, thank you. And then you afterwards go, I got it on sale.
Yes. I love saying that. It's right? The best feeling ever. And you should say, I get complimented on my clothes all the time.
Yeah.
And my first response is always,
I got it on sale.
No, my first response is always Amazon. And they're like, really? I'm like, yes.
Which is, you know, that stuff even permeates. I had that happen on the Dead Lot when we were out in Vegas this spring for the Sphere shows. And I was talking to a vendor about some shorts. He had some shorts and I, you know, did the old hustle. I go, hey, you know, they're this much. How about you knock off $5 a piece? And, you know, we do a little deal. And he ended up actually doing a better deal than that. And I shit you not, I just walked around the rest of the weekend telling my wife and anyone else who would listen.
This great deal he got on these shorts.
You see these shorts? 2 for $40.
Amazing.
2 for $40. 2 for $40. I know. It's such like the opposite of like LA culture.
Where you want to like elevate yourself by talking about how much you spent on
something. Like you want to get bigger Miami, you know, some of those big, I mean, even Atlanta to a point, you know.
God, there's somebody at the dog park today asked me, they said, oh, do you go anywhere for the summer?
Yeah.
Because so many people around here leave the summer. Yeah. And she's not talking about a vacation. She's talking about leaving for 3 months. And I was like,
yeah, do you have another home?
Yeah.
To
and that's why I said, I'm like, oh no, we don't have a second house anywhere.
Yeah. I had my therapist. I could tell he overestimated where I am on the totem pole too. He kind of said, oh, he goes, now, do you guys go anywhere like for the summer? And I go, like, what do you mean? Like another house? He goes, well, no, I mean, I didn't know or anything. I'm like, well, no, there's no fucking house.
There's no second house. There's no, one house with air conditioning.
But there are. But yeah. So, I mean, that's going to be our kid checking into college from Ireland.
Bougie.
It is going to be bougie, isn't it, for him?
Unless he still has a little Midwest modesty in
him. I don't know, man. He grew up in such a different world than we did. I mean, me and you still, we shockingly...
we have lived up to that whole give your kid a better life than you had thing.
Yeah.
For real, though. I mean, he has had everything we didn't have.
What's the number? I think I know what it's going to be for you, obviously, but I know what it is for me. What's the number one thing that you think we were able to provide him that was never provided to you?
Cable.
Oh, cable. Wow.
Well, so as a child, are you talking about like growing up?
I mean, in general, right? Like, I feel like we all have something we look back on in our childhood, and it's just like, man, like, I want this to be better. Like, you know, the prototypical when I'm growing up, when I'm in charge. So yours is cable, because you guys didn't have cable.
I didn't have cable until I moved into my college apartment.
Jesus Christ. That was like 2005.
Yeah, my parents didn't. We
what are you, fucking Amish?
I know. We rented. My parents didn't own a house till I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
So that was a big thing that I didn't really, because I knew all my friends' parents owned their houses and we didn't. We lived in a duplex.
Okay.
So those are two things we gave him.
A house.
A house. He had cable growing up. And also, obviously, the pain for his college.
See, I thought you were going to lead with that.
I was thinking back to childhood.
Childhood,
like,
yeah.
Adulthood, yeah.
Mine's not as, I don't have as many as yours. Even though same thing. I grew up in my grandparents' home. Well, first I grew up like in an apartment, and then my mom got committed to a psych ward, so we ended up moving in with my grandparents in their home, and we didn't get into a home, just me and my mom, until I think I was eighth grade, so a little bit younger than you, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of have that similar thing. So I never thought about that. But the one thing that stuck with me throughout my childhood that I said, one day when I grow up, and these are the things that I think about with my child, he does not know a non-brand name food item.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying...
We were a generic household, too.
Oh, man.
And the gigantic bags of generic cereal that were just like... They were like bags of dog food.
They were like a little bit
they were
like
huge.
Mighty Mutt.
It was... I always remember my mom would
dumping it out.
We'd be sitting in the cart shopping at Cub Foods, and she'd throw one of these gigantic dog food bags of generic cereal in the cart, and I was like, we're supposed to eat all this? What the hell?
I go back to... the original generic aisle. I don't know how many of you are old enough to remember that, but there was literally an aisle that was just called generic. Now they zhuzh it up and they put the generic items. One, they brand them, right? Yeah. So they're called like Sam's Choice
Signature.
Or Signature Bullshit.
They all have their own brands, which is just generic.
And then they put them with the other branded shit, so you don't know what the generic stuff is. You can usually figure it out from the price, but I grew up in a time, I'll never forget it, like Jewel Osco was a big Chicago chain. There were two aisles that were just generic items, and there were literal boxes that just said potato chips.
Yes, like the big yellow box.
Yes,
the yellow and brown box.
You know what I'm talking about?
Potato chips. Yep.
Potato chips.
It had no brand on it. My mom bought that every single time.
There would be a little silo.
Yeah.
Oats.
Yes.
Here's your fucking oats. I mean, it was like communist Russia.
Yeah.
And of course, my grandparents were like, this is great, because they came from over there. They're like, this is like communist Russia. So they that's all I had as a kid. And all I wanted as a kid was some motherfucking Frosted Flakes, you know. And next door at my great aunt lived next door with my godmother and my godfather. And guess what? They had all the name brand bullshit. I'd go there and I'd say, Yo, you guys got an Oscar Mayer hot dog? Hook that up.
We used to make our own Frosted Flakes. My mom would buy the generic corn flakes, and we would shake the sugar on.
Well, no, that's always, you would dump, it was terrible. Yeah, everything was just dumping sugar on. Yes. It was like, here's your Cheerios, which is just the generic O's, and now just dump sugar on it. So, yeah, that became something weird that when I got out of the house and just started buying my own groceries, I noticed that, okay, yeah, I like name brand stuff. And then, of course, you get price conscious, right? Like, I don't want you to think that me and her stocked the house with all name brands just to do it.
But there's a lot of stuff we'll buy generic because it's really, the difference is not huge. Yeah.
But my kid, throughout his life, I've realized now that he's 18 and almost out the door, he never had to deal with a generic anything. If he wanted the Smucker's jelly, he got Smucker's jelly. It wasn't like generic grape jelly, right? It wasn't Sam's Choice jelly.
Well, the only time we were really, really broke when we lived back in Wisconsin, and I remember we'd do the Walmart brands of everything.
Yeah.
But that was the closest we got. You know what though? Like, I'm just waiting for us when we go to London and even Ireland, I'm waiting for him to find a McDonald's and be like, let's go.
You know what's going to happen. I can't wait to see him get
all these tourist guides on YouTube, they're all like, stay away from this area. It's just Burger King's and McDonald's. You know, you want to go to this pub and this restaurant. And I'm like, well, no, because my kid's going to want to go to the McDonald's in Leicester Square.
I will say I was a little excited when I saw a TGI Fridays in Leicester Square. Just because
that's cool.
I don't see a TGI Fridays around here anymore. I'm like,
hold on. We went to one in Canada. That was the only other one we found.
Are you telling me there's a TGI Fridays in England?
I'll go,
I guess.
The Pat and AJ Podcast Network is available on all your favorite audio platforms. Subscribe today. Follow Pat and AJ on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook now at Pat and AJ. PatandAJ.com. Support the Pat and AJ Podcast Network today by donating on Venmo or Cash App. Powered by the people. The Pat and AJ Podcast Network.